Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop, Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get seven.
Three-run homer. Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist, Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Straight away, center field. Cano and Cruz go back to back.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven. Scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill back with you. We'll talk about the game in a moment. Last night, over the Mariners fall to the A's in game one of this four-game series. Before we get to that, a little housekeeping. So next week is the All-Star break, so the podcast is going to take a break during the All-Star break. There'll probably be one on Monday to wrap up the weekend. I'm not sure what time it will be out. We've been a little later this week for a variety of reasons, but we should get back on normal schedule after the All-Star break. But look for one on Monday and perhaps one towards the end of the week, and we'll play it by ear. I'll be out of town, so it's not really predictable. But look for one on Monday, perhaps one towards the end of the week, as the Mariners could use three big days here before the All-Star break, and we're getting to a critical point in the Mariners' season. And I say that not because mathematically, you know, they're up against the wall or anything like that. It just becomes to the point where when you're looking up at a handful of teams, you don't want to get in a position where you need that 7 or 8 game winning streak to kind of vault yourself back past teams. Mariners now have lost 4 in a row. 41-46, that have now slipped behind, you know, the wild card leaders, the Yankees, who are now just a half game ahead of the Royals, who have won 4 in a row. And then you have the Twins, the Rays, Angels, Rangers, and Mariners, and then Baltimore and Toronto behind the M's. But M's now staring up at 4 teams just to get to that second wild card spot. So that's why as we get to the All-Star break, it becomes pretty critical juncture of the season, especially when you know you're staring at a really difficult August with just not a lot of home games. On the road a ton, and that is not going to be an easy schedule. Mariners could really use a nice streak here, just 2-8 in their past 10 ball games. Kansas City playing some great baseball. Yankees kind of hovering right now. Tampa Bay has been playing really well as of late. Minnesota's just hanging around as well. Angels continue to tread water until Trout comes back, and Texas kind of up and down as well. So that's the situation coming into the weekend where the Mariners continue their series with the Oakland A's. And last night was just kind of a continuation where they've been jumped on early in ball games, and Gavilio has been outstanding this season, but A's get to him for 3 early. Mariners find themselves down. And, at some point they're out 7-0. The A's a 7-0 lead. Mariners get one back in the 5th inning. Good to see Haniger going the other way with the blast.
The 2-1 to Haniger, swinging a fly ball into right field and deep, going back. Joyce to the warning track, to the wall, leaps up, and does he make the catch? No, he doesn't. Goodbye, baseball. Into the front row in straightaway right field, an opposite field home run for Mitch Haniger. His 7th home run of the season. A double in the 3rd, a home run in the 5th, and Haniger's bat is heating up tonight against the Oakland A's, and the Mariners finally get on the board. It's the A's 7, and the Mariners 1 on Haniger's 7th home run of the season.
And then the Mariners fight back. They put a 3 spot on the board in the 9th.
The 2-1 pitch, swinging a drive deep into the gap in left center field. This one is going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Danny Valencia, with his 9th home run of the season, a 3-run home run here in the bottom of the 9th. And it's now the A's 7 and the Mariners 4. It ain't over yet.
But just too late as they fall 7-4 to the Oakland A's in game 1 of the series. Gavilio, 7 earned runs and 4 2/3. Gallardo really good out of the pen, 4 1/3, 1 hit, no runs, a couple walks, and 4 strikeouts. So that's where we are. Coming up on this podcast, we're going to check in with Modesto. Keaton Galogli is going to join us from Modesto. We're going to check in with how the Nets are doing. Also, he has a fun conversation with Braden Bishop, former University of Washington outfielder, an all-star this year, all-star MVP, having a great year. And he talks about his connection to one Mariner in particular. So that will come up in a few minutes. Right now, though, let's hear from Scott Servais after what was a disappointing night last night.
Yeah, not much to say about that game. You know, we got out, you know, Sam Gaviglia wasn't sharp, obviously, in the first inning. And, you know, it's hard to get him, you know, get it going a little bit through the middle innings. And, you know, he ran into trouble in the fifth as well. And, you know, offensively, we just didn't get much going at all until late. So, you know, again, you know, not a good ball game. You know, we got to get it going. There's not a whole lot to say about it. We got beat. You know, just didn't play a good game.
Blackburn good, or did you help him, or
what? Well, you know, he's a young guy you don't know a ton about, but you know, I thought you know, he pitched a good ball game. He got good results. You have to give him credit for that. You know, it wasn't our best game, obviously. You know, offensively, helped him out a little bit, but you know, it is what it is. We got to start playing better baseball. We're just you know, tough start tonight to the game. Tough start last night to the game, and you know, we've got to pick it up. Everybody, players, coaches, myself, we got to get it going in the right direction.
You mentioned helping him out. Yeah, some of the base paths is probably not the ideal there.
No, you know, we are giving him a lot of free outs away on the bases. You know, center fielder, you know, throwing out Haniger at third, and then, you know, the pickoff there when you're down, you know, 3-0. So we're kind of doing it to ourselves. We're better than this, but you know, there's only one way out is we got to figure it out. We got to get after it, and you know, starts tomorrow.
Was Sam having location problems?
Yes, yeah, he did fall behind the count a little bit. Wasn't sharp tonight, but we've seen him not be sharp early in games and kind of figure out a way to get through, you know, five or six innings. You know, tonight didn't happen for him. Yeah, Mitch did swing the bat better tonight. Obviously, Segura had a very good night. Swung the bat well. You know, Valencia hit the home run late. But, yeah, it was good to see out of Haniger, you know, on some fastballs and drove the ball much better tonight.
Mariner coming back in 2-3 on team.
Yeah, I really tip my hat to Giovanni, you know, to throw three innings a couple days ago and then in the game tonight taking the ball and running with it. Says a lot about the pro that he is and, you know, much appreciated. He's throwing the ball much better. Stuff's been good. He's been going right after guys. Got all of his pitches working, which has been good to see.
Can he pitch his way back into the
rotation? We'll see. You know, obviously we've got a lot of season ahead of us. You know, it's nice to see he's continuing to work, taking his craft seriously. He's a veteran guy. He's not, you know, packing it in by any means, and he knows he's still got a valuable role in this club, and I certainly appreciate what he did tonight.
No two ways about it tonight now. James Paxton on the hill, and this is a big one. The Mariners have the A's 4-3 starting tonight before the All-Star break. Paxton will take the mound. They could really use a strong start, especially a couple zeros on the board early in this ball game. 6-3, 3.27 ERA. It's not going to be easy, though. Sean Manaea has been very good, quietly very good this season. 7-4, a 3.75 ERA. Lefties in particular have had a lot of problems against Manaea. Teams have not hit him well in terms of average. He does, from time to time, lose control with base on balls. We'll see if the Mariners can take advantage of that, but it's not going to be easy tonight. Manaea's very good. Saturday, the A's have had to scratch their starter. Jarrell Cotton was going to get the call. He's dealing with blisters. And it looks like Chris Smith is going to get the call and make his not only first start of the season, but his debut this year. He has spent some time in the big leagues the past few seasons, 1-0 with a 4.58 ERA, but get his major league debut this season. Andrew Moore, who is coming off of an 8-inning beauty. Mariners lost the game, but he was great. 1-1 with a 3.60 ERA. Will get the call on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the finale before the All-Star break. This is obviously an all-hands-on-deck situation with the break coming. But Felix Hernandez will get the ball. He'll try and bounce back from a rough start. 3-3, 5.04 ERA. And then on the other side of things, for the Oakland A's, another youngster, Daniel Gossett, a righty, will take the ball. He's 1-3 with a 6.23 ERA and just five starts. He's made his major league debut as well this year. Of course, the A's can say that about a lot of guys making their major league debuts this year. So there you have it. You're all set for what is a pretty big weekend for the Mariners at home, taking on the A's, trying to turn things around, especially at home. They could use a couple of these three. A sweep would be beautiful. So we'll see what happens this weekend, and we'll talk about it on Monday. And now here's Keaton Gallogly.
Well, Keaton, it's fun to talk again. It's been a little while, so you get to update us on everything going on with the Nuts. But I'm going to start with an interview that we're going to hear in a few minutes. You had a chance to sit down with Braden Bishop, former University of Washington standout. And what a season he is having. I mean, he's doing it all. He's hitting for average. He's mixed in 20 doubles. He's stealing bases. Great defense. Was an all-star. What have you seen from Bishop on a daily basis?
Well, really, Braden Bishop has been remarkably consistent. I mean, that's one of the things that's stuck out so far throughout this season. He really hasn't had many dips at all. I mean, he's batting over 300 again, and he's got his slugging percentage up over 400 and near the 450s, and he's been leading the league in on-base percentage as well. He's been walking a lot, setting the table out of the leadoff spot every day, and it's just that consistency he's bringing every single day. And the interview, which you'll hear a little bit later, is pretty interesting. He's got a relationship with Mitch Haniger that goes back to high school, since they're both from the Bay Area. And he got some advice from Mitch Haniger that had really helped him coming into this season. And he really did want to kind of drive the ball a little bit more. He's another guy that is kind of in the school of thought of focusing on some exit velocity and launch angle stuff. And there's a couple guys on the team now that are looking at that, where he's not trying, you know, he's a speedster. So naturally you'd think he'd want to just be putting the ball on the ground and getting it in play and trying to let his legs do the work. But yeah, what he's been trying to do is drive the ball with a little more authority, not over the wall, but just over the infield, you know, trying to hit those line drives over the middle infielder's heads, get that ball into the gap. And with his speed, if he hits a line drive that's not right at an outfielder, you know, he's able to push some of those singles into doubles. So, you know, he's maybe not showing power by banging doubles off the wall, but showing power by hitting the ball hard into a gap, able to stretch what some guys have as a single into a double, and then, you know, he's stealing a few bases, so that's going to add to some of the bases you're eating up on the base paths. So, yeah, he's been a lot of fun to watch, and a guy who really works his tail off, and he had a lot of fun at the All-Star game. You'll hear a little bit about that as well, but, you know, he went into that just really enjoying himself and wanted to take the opportunity to kind of showcase what he can do. Stole a couple bases. He was the only guy to steal any bases and had a chance to play the whole game. And, you know, he had a lot of fun despite the weather, which was 110 in Visalia that day for the All-Star game. But other than that, he had a lot of fun, and he's had a really, really great year out of the leadoff spot for us.
Wow, that's great. And obviously a big key to what is going on with Modesto. You won the first half and in first place in the second half. And along with Bishop, what else has been the keys for Modesto this year?
Well, right now the pitching's been pretty absurd at the moment. We just saw another great start from Nathan Bannister, who was a guy drafted from the University of Arizona last year and made his pro debut this year because of an injury a season ago. So he threw 8 shutout innings last night for us. And then at this point now, we've seen the starting rotation over the last 11 games throw to a 1.72 ERA here in the Cal League now and in the first week of July, where yeah, everywhere across baseball, offense is picking up, and we're watching the pitching staff throw its best right now. And we're watching guys be very efficient. Guys are working into the 7th and 8th innings. We just saw our first complete game a couple of days ago with Reggie McClain out of the mound, a 2016 draft pick out of the University of Missouri. And we're watching guys be really, really efficient on the mound. I mean, we're seeing guys going 10 to 12 pitches an inning, and they're going up on the mound, they're getting the ball from the catcher, and they're throwing. They're not wasting time. You know, guys are working really quickly. The tempo that we've seen has been really impressive, and everything's been starting with these guys' fastballs. They're putting the fastball where they want to, and when you can do that, your secondary stuff plays up. And so we've watched some really good starting pitching. And then on top of that, we've seen a couple of guys really start to jump out in the bullpen. We haven't really seen any promotions out of our bullpen all season long. And so now we're seeing guys who came in and had some big tools really start to refine that and harness that a little bit this year. Art Warren is the guy that sticks out. He touched 98 the other day. Mm. in front of a 5,500-person crowd at home in Modesto at John Thurman Field. So we had a big crowd there on July 3rd that had him amped up a little bit when I talked to him the day after. And, yeah, he was touching 97, 98. So usually he sits 94, 95, and that's a big-time fastball with a very good breaking ball. And then another guy is Lucas Schiraldi out of the bullpen. He's a guy throwing 95 with a really nasty overhand curveball, and his curveball gets the most swings and misses on the team out of any of the stuff, any weapons from any guy in the bullpen and the starting rotation. And we know that because one different thing that the Mariners staff does and that the coaching staff does is they get a lot of the kind of advanced stats on some pitching stuff, which they'll post in the clubhouse, you know, every week or 10 days or so, that just has what the swing percentage, the swing and miss percentage is on each of your pitches for a pitcher, just how often you get guys chasing out of the zone, those types of stats that just kind of allow you to put some numbers to your stuff. And for the guys, some of them look at it, some of them don't. For some of them, you know, one number is interesting that kind of jumps out. And a lot of times it just gives you numbers to something you already knew. I mean, we already knew Schiraldi's breaking ball was good, but now I can tell you with 100% confidence and certainty that that curveball is the most swung at and missed pitch out of the Nuts rotation, and you really see it. And a lot of that credit comes down to the pitching coach Pete Woodworth, who has really kind of refined these guys' mechanics, and as a result we're seeing guys much smoother and much more efficient, and the stuff which you saw at the beginning of the year is now really starting to jump. And you know, especially when it comes to the bullpen, those are the guys that can move really, really quickly through a system. And there's two guys right now in Art Warren and Lucas Schiraldi, they're throwing mid-90s and dropping a couple of breaking balls that are turning into a lot of strikeouts.
And if the name Schiraldi sounds familiar, Calvin Schiraldi, his father, former big league pitcher with the Boston Red Sox. So I'm very anxious to talk to you about Nick Neidert, who you look at his numbers in this league, a 3.09 ERA. He's fanned 92 in just over 87 innings. His whip is 1.05. Great numbers on their own, but great numbers for that league in particular. Has he been as impressive as those numbers would indicate?
Yes. This is a kid who's only 20 years old, very mature, very outgoing, and very congenial. He's throwing in the low 90s right now, and he's a guy who there's not a lot of projection left on him. He's not going to put on a bunch of weight and jump in velocity. You know, that fastball and his changeup are pretty much fully developed at this point. And last year when he was in Clinton, he had some good numbers but wasn't striking a lot of guys out, and he was mostly just getting guys out with one pitch. It was just his fastball. And because he has such remarkable command of that fastball, you can get a lot of outs in A ball, both in low A and advanced A, which is the level the Nuts are at right now. And when you're doing that, you're going to get a lot of swings and misses in A ball. But as soon as you get to double A, that jump from advanced A to double A is huge, and you're not going to be getting those outs. So coming into this year, the big focus for Neidert was to develop the slider. Talking to Pete Woodworth again about it, he had Nick Neidert last year in Clinton as the pitching coach there. He gets him again here this season, and they were working really hard on his slider all through spring training and coming into this year, and that's something that's been getting better and better. And one thing, when you look at the numbers you mentioned, his strikeout numbers, he's a guy where you've seen the strikeout numbers really jump this year, and you don't always see that in the minor leagues. And a lot of times that's one of those numbers that really never changes. I mean, you can see a guy move up the ranks, but for the most part, if you really follow prospects, you don't see jumps in strikeout rate going up, and you don't usually see walk rates going down. Usually a guy's command is kind of his command throughout pro baseball, but the strikeout numbers have jumped in a big way, and it's been because of that slider. When you can spot up a fastball and a changeup, then that slider can play up in a big way, and that changeup has a chance to be a plus pitch. I mean, Neidert's probably not going to be a front of the rotation guy, but with his work ethic, with the durability we've already seen from him, with the way he's been slowly built up in his innings, because last year he didn't pitch in April. They just kept him down in extended spring training. They could limit his innings that way. Then they can send him out and let him go to work and really pitch. I mean, one thing the Mariners have done with their pitching staff that I've been able to witness now is is they want these guys to be able to pitch and really make them feel like they're getting their start day. They've avoided some of those piggyback rotations where you've got one guy coming in for four innings and the other guy following him for four innings, and then they flip who's actually starting the game. But for Nider, you know, he's had the opportunity to really get after it. We've seen him throw seven and eight innings this year, work his way through a rotation three and four times with those same three pitches, and that's the type of development that once you get through that, and as we see Nider elevate toward the end of this year and into next year into the upper minor leagues, you know, that's when you can start moving pretty quickly. And although he's not going to be a Felix Hernandez and a front of the line kind of big ace rotation guy, but he's the kind of guy that you could end up seeing who's putting in 200 innings a year and ends up becoming just a stalwart in the rotation for a long, long time because he doesn't have a huge fastball. It's in the low 90s. He commands it, and that changeup is plus-plus, and he's got a chance to be really, really good.
Well, it's been a great season for you guys so far. Winners of the first half by three games, leading in the second half. So map out how the playoffs work. If you win the second half, are you in the Cal League Championship?
If we win the second half, we just get more bragging rights, and everybody's really happy about it.
Okay.
they do it with only eight teams in the Cal League. They have four of those teams making the playoffs. The first half division champion takes it. Takes a playoff spot. The second half division champion takes a playoff spot. So it's a north and south, two out of those. And then the first and second half titles out of the second half will play each other. If the Nuts are to win the second half, then it comes down to the best overall record behind the Nuts.
Okay.
So that could be any one of three teams. And then it's two best of five series. The Nuts will have the tiebreaker or the home field advantage in the first round if they have the best overall record. So they're actually still playing something for right now. If they do have the best overall record, then they would get the potential winner-take-all game five in the divisional series. And then in the championship series, it alternates each year which division has the advantage. And this year, it's the North Division. So
nice.
The championship series, we'd go to the South for two games and then come back North for potentially three games in September.
Well, sounds good. I hope Modesto gets there, and we'll definitely be checking in. Thanks for taking the time again. It's always fun to chat, and, boy, it's fun to watch from afar the season you guys are having. It looks like a fun one so far.
Yeah, appreciate it, Gary. It's a lot of fun to talk to these guys, and it's been a lot of fun getting to know the Mariners organization. I've been in four different major league organizations, minor league systems now, and you know, not to knock what I've seen out of other places, but I've really had a great opportunity to get to know a lot of guys and meet some of the legends, you know, meet Alvin Davis and meet Dan Wilson and meet these guys and interview them and talk to them about the Mariners and about the way they bring these guys along, and it's been a real treat. I mean, there's a lot of really, really great guys and some women who are Rovers as well. I've had the opportunity to meet, and it's been a lot of fun to get to know the Mariners organization so far.
Keaton Gologli alongside Braden Bishop, Nuts outfielder and All-Star Game MVP. And Braden, what was the experience like going down to Visalia and playing in the All-Star Game?
It was definitely an honor, you know, playing alongside some of the best, you know, prospects in baseball and obviously some of the best in the Cal League. So it was definitely an honor. I learned a lot and tried to soak up as much info as possible.
Yeah, what were some of the conversations like with some of the other All-Stars, and how was it meeting some of the other top prospects around the league?
You know, it was really pretty special. You know, I got to hear a lot of stories, you know, from throughout the first half, you know, what pitchers got what hitters out on what pitches, you know, talking approach and mentality with different hitters throughout the league, you know, just kind of comparing and contrasting, you know, where I'm at and where they're at. And then obviously just trying to take little nuggets from, you know, those guys because it's obviously working and trying to build my repertoire.
Oh, what was the atmosphere at that ball game like?
It was pretty cool. You know, I think when you have such a great group of guys, so much talent, you know, pretty electric pitching, it was pretty cool. You know, I learned a lot. You know, I got to face some really good arms. And saw some pitches that I hadn't seen so far. I didn't even know they existed. So it was definitely an experience for sure.
Well, there's another Bay Area native. Is you're a Bay Area native as well. And Mitch Haniger is having a great rookie season with the Seattle Mariners. What is your relationship with Mitch like?
You know, it was pretty cool. He was a senior at Archbishop Mitty, and I was a freshman at St. Francis in Mountain View. And I got to see him play in the playoffs when I went up to varsity for just a little bit. And, you know, that guy was a stud. And, he, you know, he played the game the right way and handles his business the right way. So it was cool, you know, during spring training, get to interact a little bit and ask him about his career so far and some of the changes he's made along the way. Talked hitting a lot. You know, I love his philosophy and, you know, what he believes and how he approaches his swing. So I just try to, you know, pick his brain and see what he was thinking, see if I can implement it in my game because I love the way he plays.
What have you been able to implement in your game from those conversations?
Yeah, I think our biggest thing was just getting your body in the right position to hit. You know, there's this big thing on, I'll hit the ball in the air or don't swing down, stuff like that. And obviously you put yourself in the right position to hit, you're going to drive the ball. And that obviously is through the air. So it was just about driving the ball, you know, getting your body in a position to hit multiple pitches and different counts. But, you know, Mitch definitely knows his stuff, and obviously it's paying off and showing on the field.
And for you, we've seen some improvements at the plate as well. Already double the amount of doubles you have this year compared to last season. What have you done to hit the ball a little harder this year?
You know, I think that was the biggest thing, just getting my body in a position to hit different pitches and be able to drive them, you know, not be so passive and have a lot more intent within my swings, you know, and also getting myself into some better counts so I can get some pitches to drive, you know, not being overly aggressive early. So hopefully I can get myself into a hitter's count and get a pitch up in the zone and drive it.
Over the last 2 years, there's been a big emphasis in the mental side of the game within the Mariners organization. How has that helped your development?
Oh, it's huge. You know, I think at a certain point, you know, you kind of got to trust the physical tools, the work that you've put in up to this point. And then the mental game takes over. You know, it's more approach and mentality based because there's so many games and you take so many at-bats, there's so many ups and downs that you got to have something that keeps you even, keeps you consistent. And I truly believe that's starts with your mind and your mentality.
Finally, an alum of the University of Washington. Did that make it any more special to get drafted by the Mariners?
Oh, yeah. It was a pretty surreal day. You know, hearing my name called is an honor and a blessing, but to have it be from the team that's 10 minutes down the highway is truly something else, you know, and to have a lot of the same fans, the Mariners are, you know, pretty special to be a part of their organization and, you know, to interact with the same people that I did in college.
Braden, really appreciate the time, and see you up in Seattle soon.
Thank you.
For Nuts outfielder Braden Bishop, I'm Keaton Gilogley.